So, did you hear about Campus the Canton?
I have heard about it, yes. I need to learn much more about the Campus the Canton format.
Where would you do that?
Well, at campuscanton.com.
If only we had access to campuscanton.com and a promo code.
Well, what if we had a promo code that could save you 10% off?
That sounds pretty good to me. Where do I find that?
Starting as low as $3 a month. But here's what I recommend you do. I have to add this in. You only get to use that 10% off one time. Yes, you can only use it one time, Finero. So use it on a whole 1 year package, your $3 a month package, because you want to save on the whole year, not just 1 year. But then you can get different packages all the way on up. I recommend you get at least the middle tier just for the right amount of content. And you learn Campus to Canton with us. Maybe someday you're in a league with us.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. You think we can get enough listeners to start a league with us?
I don't know.
We can try.
I'm kind of scared. Because if we do, you'll be going up against Finero and I. We'll be sharing a team and taking you on. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of intimidated of this format. I'll be diving in for my first time, too. I'm in a lot of Devi leagues, Dynasty leagues. This next step could be intimidating. I can't think of a better place for us to learn it than campuscanton.com.
We talked about this with Felix Sharp, and there's just no better way to get better at Dynasty and to get better at Devi than to take on this big challenge. It's going to be rough. We have a lot of bumps and learning curves, but we're going to have campuscanton.com to help us out. So you're going to have the same tool we will. So see if you can beat us.
It is a learning journey. Come on it with us. And as Felix said, let Campus Canton be that parachute that slows everything down, makes us land smoothly into this next format.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Finero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 267. It flies by. We're going to be at 300 very soon.
Crazy.
We're going to see if we can speed that process up tonight. So we'll have a quick show for you, and we're going to go over some players that Feverish... Holy cow! Here, as always, with the Feverish Finero. How did I forget that? Maybe that's a good thing. It's just here. Cause we tell them about you in the intro. So they already know you're here. And then here as always with the Feverish Finero. And they already know you're here.
They do. And they certainly know now.
But I mean, now I feel like we can start the show. I guess it's all about me, right?
Yeah. I've never felt more ready than I have right now.
Holy cow. So yeah, we're going to talk about some, speaking of ready. We're ready to tell you about some players that we are just kind of noticing we don't have on our rosters and we may not have on our rosters due to their rookie ADP. I don't know who we kick this off with here. I've got a few players listed. I know you've got a few players listed. I just can't believe that I almost forgot to say here as always with the Feverish Finero. I'm so stuck on that.
That's quite all right, Swag. We have a negative show we're starting here with guys that we're not real high on. So I think it's okay to mention me 3, 4, 5, 6 times in the beginning now. So yes. I'm loving life. So that's
goodness,
good.
I have to make up for it somehow. All right. Who are you going to start with?
All right. I'm going to start with low hanging fruit, brother. I know you're with me on this. I'm going to go ahead and throw all the QBs in this class, not named, because I do have one exception, Sam Howell. And it's not because I like Howell the most. It's just because he's the cheapest. He's like literally the last QB that has any chance of starting. So he's like a fourth rounder. And right around then, I'm kind of thinking, okay, you know what? I'll take a shot on Mr. Sam Howell. So I'm going to go ahead and say all the QBs in this class, I'm just out on. They're not on any. I've had 6 rookie drafts now. I have 1 Sam Howell.
Do you feel like there's a range of outcomes within your rookie drafts a place where Kenny Pickett would fall that
I would take him?
You would take that swing?
Anywhere in the second. It's 201.
That's the earliest.
Yes.
112? You have two super flex quarterbacks.
Actually, you have a good point because there's a pretty good drop off at the 11-12 area, so you're probably right. I probably didn't want to say that.
After eight, not me.
Yeah, I can't do it at eight. Maybe I should.
At nine, I'm starting to get ready though.
Yeah.
At nine, and if I'm on the clock at nine and my top eight are gone, I'll go Kenny Pickett.
I'm gonna go double dig.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it's gotta be an 11 or a 12. I think I have good ideas.
Kenny Pickett then. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm not getting him.
And I respect that because if I have two gloves on my team, I'm probably looking to trade him to be completely fair. But I do feel like the value that a quarterback that was the only quarterback that was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft holds a certain amount of value. And I know 100%. That like we don't always want to play the value game, but I know that there are teams and people that believe in him, and you're going to hear a lot of good coach talk, and I can't get over a quarterback that wears two gloves. It's tough for me for some reason. So I'll try to refrain from the jokes throughout the season. But yeah, I'm with you in the fact that I want out, but it gets to this point where it's such a crapshoot that at 109, I think I'm taking that quarterback if he fell there.
Yeah, so, I think.
But I totally get it, Finero.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where I typically don't draft to trade. I've seen it done several times. I'm just not that kind of player. I made this comment on the show several times and others that I get a little in love with the guys I draft. Like I want to see how they do. And if I was to draft Kenny Pickett, like I don't think it would be to immediate flip him when he starts. So like he's probably sitting on my roster. I'm waiting to see how he is. I think Kenny Pickett might wind up being just fine. You know, I really do. And for that reason in Superflex, I think you have to consider it everywhere you mentioned. It's just like those top six, seven, eight, nine guys are pretty tempting. And like you said, nothing's a sure thing, but, yeah. I just kind of went in with the mentality.
It's at the beginning of all of our shows. Nothing is in a vacuum. So I want to dump some crap out and see what we've sucked up. Because sometimes it's not as pretty as you think it is. Sometimes you might get like in my vacuum, I have to make sure there's no Legos in there and pick all those out. Nice. But what if all that comes out of it is Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield? Is there a scenario where you're like, damn, I have to take Kenny Pickett here. Or no, you're still holding strong.
Yeah, I mean, the note that I had down for Kenny Pickett is I do know that, you know, I could miss on this one. And mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm okay with it. And the reason I'm okay with it is my teams aren't in that spot. So, sure. You know, as a show, we need to advise people, like, not everybody's in this spot, right? So, like,
it would be wrong for me. I respect that so much because, I mean, and that's why so many people hated this rookie draft because they were thinking they were going to fix some of a lot of our listeners and a lot of the people you see on Twitter that are very active are very super flex oriented, and their dynasty teams are a lot of super flex, so you couldn't fix the problems if you had them. But if you are savvy to the format and you've taken care of that position, you weren't as worried about it. So I totally get what you're saying there. And that's how a lot of my teams are. Right. So yeah, I get that, dude. We probably spent a little bit too much time on Mr. Pickett.
It was the whole QB class technically. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. An appropriate amount of time.
Yeah. Yep.
What's yours?
I get you though. So man, like some people are probably going to hate this one. I think this is somebody I feel like a lot of people are 50-50 on anyway, but I feel like the range I'm taking my wide receivers here is Christian Watson is just not landing on any of my teams because I'm seeing something else there that I'm a little bit more interested in, to be completely honest with you. And I know, like you said, with Pickett, the range of outcomes, sure, it's there. He's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, if not in some people's eyes, the best quarterback in the league throwing to him out the gate. But I mean, we've never really seen rookie success out the gate in Green Bay either. Mm-hmm. Not saying it can't happen at all. I mean, nope. They, you know, I'm not. When Devontae Adams came in. I mean, they were still Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson team. It wasn't like today where Christian Watson is walking in and could take that number one spot. And he's going to probably start this season. You know, I don't think he's going to be that player that at the end of the season, you're like, oh, he started all 17. I think he's going to be the kind of player where you're like, oh, he started 11 games his rookie season, you know, or because that's what you see a lot of times, honestly, even if they're getting the snaps. But Christian Watson is just one of those guys that I'm noticing not falling to any of my teams. I haven't tried to acquire for him, haven't tried to trade into any drafts for him.
Yeah, I had a 111 in a draft still going on right now. And I stayed put. Maybe should have traded up in hindsight, but I stayed put. Kenny Pickett was not available. didn't need him. But Christian Watson was. And I went George Pickens. I went right over him. Yeah, I rather have George Pickens. The one thing that we can say, you know, I know Davante Adams is brought up as having like a really bad couple of years when he came out. The one thing that no one said about Davante Adams coming out is that he was a raw talent. And everyone said that about Christian Watson. Anybody that I care about that in Debbie that's talked about Christian Watson, they explain him as fairly raw. And I don't think that mixes well with Aaron Rodgers. And how do we know Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for 3 years? It could be one or two.
Yeah.
Probably two. Right. So Christian Watson gets Rodgers for two. That was, you know, I don't know. I don't think that's enough.
Man, you never know with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Could be 6 months. Ends,
you're wondering if he's going to retire.
It could be six months.
That's a whole nother story for another show. But Aaron Rodgers is somebody that, as well as he does for your teams, it's not enjoyable drama for me. Who else do you have?
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and put these on.
Uh-oh, the fighting gloves.
Nope, these are my gardening gloves.
Oh, we're going to the tight end garden.
Yeah, so a tight end that will not make it into my garden is Trey McBride. I have nothing against this player. It's the first thing I want to say. Nothing against Trey McBride. I just don't think there's a clear-cut tight end one in this class like people like to believe. Trey McBride was always there throughout this entire process, and I think for me, landing spots mean even more in that case. So like if you believe the premise of what I just said, which is that the tight ends, there is no Kyle Pitts, there is no Hockenson or Fant. They're clustered more in a group. Then landing spots mean a little bit more to me. And I like some of these landing spots better. And I kind of see Trey McBride as the new Dallas Goedert. Like he's ironically behind Zach Ertz. He's like the Goddard of Southwest. And Goddard right now is people are pretty high on him. I just feel like there are other tight ends in this class that I can get in the third and even fourth rounds that for that later value. I'll just bring up two, Jelani Woods and Greg
Dulcich. Some guys we don't want to have and then some late round guys we do want to have.
That sounds like a natural fit for another show for sure.
Some savvy guys. but I'm with you. I don't have any Trey McBride.
He's too early, man. It's early second.
People don't always like that we're completely agreeable, but seriously, like he is the kind of player. If you like Trey McBride, just keep your eye on him. And you're going to be able to obtain him before he breaks out for so much cheaper because that's really what naturally happens with guys like this. You don't always get like Travis Kelce or Ertz broke out pretty quick. It wasn't quite the first year, but you don't always get that. You don't always get Kyle Pitts even. So you'll be able to get him at a Irv Smith price pretty soon.
Yep, I agree. It's naturally set up for that on that team.
Yep. And you have to spend, I mean, anywhere from a late first to early second, I see him going.
Yep. I can't do it.
Sometimes he slips, don't get me wrong, but I'm still taking somebody else. Like if Trey McBride's there, give me somebody else. I was going to say a player, but I mean, we already thought maybe we'll talk about some stuff later. Nice. Somebody else I'm finding just not on my teams. I thought I was going to have a lot of this guy pre-draft. We've mentioned him a couple times here, but that's Sky Moore. And going into it, I was like, you know, it's going to be so fun. There was a time when people weren't as into Sky Moore. You weren't hearing as much conversation. He was out of Western Michigan University, not as much hype. It started to build up a little bit going into the draft, but I still assumed him to be that like 201 to 206, like where you could get Elijah Moore and, those guys last year, which really you could, you know, and that's where I thought Sky Moore was going to end up falling this year. And then he landed with the Chiefs and kind of in that Christian Watson range, to be completely honest with you.
He's earlier than Christian Watson.
Yeah, and sometimes earlier. I've seen him go 104. Oh, yeah. And that's just a player that I know is not going to be on my teams unless he fails a little bit at first and I acquire him a little cheaper. Or if he falls to the right spot in a startup, which I'm not doing right now. But even at that point, it seems like people are going to be a little bit higher on Sky Moore than I am.
What do you think he has to do to be considerably more valuable? Get hurt? Because I think he retains
more valuable or
no, less? Like to kind of like be cheaper next year. Like what does he have to do? Like what 500-yard season?
To be cheaper?
Yeah.
Juju has to dominate.
There you go.
And Juju Kelsey has
becomes
to be
a clear cut wide receiver usual, one.
Juju That's has to good, dominate.
Yeah, I wanted you to paint me a picture because I was like having the struggle off the cuff here trying to come up with a scenario just because he is tethered to Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, I think he could even do pretty not so good and still be pretty equally valued next year. Like people will just say, well, his rookie season, he was showing flashes. You know, I think but that would do it. A dominant wide receiver and Kelsey just doing Kelsey things.
Yeah. I mean, and you have to think like when this isn't even fair to say, but Mecole Hardman or any other wide receiver, whether it was through free agency that's came there with chemistry to Tyreek Hill and Kelsey. Whereas now you don't have any of that. You just have Kelsey. So Juju has the same exact shot with more NFL experience, still a young wide receiver who's proven talent, you know. So I think Juju's forgotten is the wrong word, but he's almost an oversight because of Sky Moore. And give me Juju at the discount all day long. But yeah, Sky Moore is just another player I won't have, dude. It's unfortunate, too. I was excited about him. I am excited about him. It's not that I'm not. I just – everybody else got really excited.
Yeah, he's not on my list and maybe should be because in the drafts I've had, I haven't been able to get Sky Moore. And I don't think I particularly tried to trade in because of where he's falling to get him either. So I guess he should be on my list then. But
I will take Sky Moore over Christian Watson.
Oh, easily.
But
– easily. Yeah. Night and day. Christian Watson's just, I was trying to decide that actually, where Christian Watson would have to go for me to draft him. And I think it's right around 205. He'll never go there. He'll never go there. Even if Damian Pierce is off the board, I'm not going to lie to you, dude.
He's on the board.
Oh, yeah. I'm drafting Pierce first.
So
I really am. And it's going to be nonsense to people, but
so
I'm sticking to my guns on that.
Depending on who's on the board, you still might not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. I wonder if we have any players we don't agree with on here.
The thing that sucks is that before I get there, I'm almost positive you're going to agree with the next player. I'm almost positive. But the other thing about Christian Watson, too, just I don't know why we're going back to him over and over again, but 50% of this wide receiver class is going to fail.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that might even be a generous number.
No,
I thought Christian Watson was going to fail before he ever got drafted. So that's the guy I'm going to draft in the first round? No, sorry. No.
Yeah.
That's not the guy I'm going to draft in the first round.
And that's something I mentioned on Dynasty Trades HQ, not like you just did, but when we were talking about the wide receivers and the running backs and why would you take this running back in this round? And then I was like, dude, like 8 to 10 wide receivers are going in the first rounds of our rookie drafts right now.
Yep.
You have about 8 to 10 wide receivers from the last three classes that are wide receiver twos or better. That's it. That's a hearty number. That's not throwing shade. That's reality bites.
Yep.
So to think that you're going to get 8 to 10 wide receivers from this class that are wide receiver twos. And yep. I mean, and wide receiver threes and fours have a place in Dynasty. Don't get me wrong. But to think that all of these players are the next guy, and some of them are, like you said, you know, some of them are. 50% might even be generous depending on what you consider a hit for year one.
Correct.
I think here we're a little bit, I'm trying to think of the word I'm looking for, but
optimistic.
If I see a wide receiver three, you know, Hunter Renfro, we were talking about his rookie year as a hit, and he only had like 600 yards or something like that. But we were referring to that year as
absolutely
a hit, you know, and we were kind of seeing it like this isn't awesome, but this is what we want to see from our rookies. So hits are different, but to think these guys are all just going to be wide receiver twos and take it over.
Even with Aaron Rodgers, like yeah, that's the thing. Like even with Patrick Mahomes,
Aaron Rodgers,
like,
even with Patrick Mahomes,
there's a lot of stuff we don't know about these guys. Like how much work ethic do they have? What kind of heart do they have?
Yeah,
there's so many examples, recent examples we can point to say that this isn't going to work out with all these guys. It just isn't going to work out.
Yep.
Sorry.
So speaking of all these guys, if you're optimistic, pessimistic, if you just want to know more about these guys, one place you can go is over to DynastyNerds.com. I'll put it at the top of the show in case you're going there now and you're going to start logging in before you can get it to all that stuff. Put in code FEVER. You'll save 15%. And Fenero, tell them about all the videos that you can watch on all the players, all of their plays.
Yeah, dude, that's – I mean, I've talked about this and it's been a while, so I'm so glad you brought it up. As one of my favorite things on that site, I don't know where else you can find it. And when I say it, I'm not talking about watching the entire game. You can probably find that other places. They literally – I can watch every single play that Christian Watson played versus X team in 4 minutes. I can watch the whole game. And they show – like if he's blocking, they show that too. Any play he's involved in, I get to watch. Christian Watson and how low I am on him – is because of me watching the games that were on there. I think there's 5 games, and he just looked like he was fighting the football. He looked like he did not look like a natural pass catcher, and he looked like he was utilized for speed and speed alone, which is one dimensional, and awkward, just really, really awkward, adjusting to the ball, all of it in game after game after game. 5 games took me less than 25 minutes to watch, and I was able to have my own assessment rather than listening to podcasts and listening to or reading articles and getting different opinions. I got my own opinion. I've been watching football for a long time. I'm 48 years old. I know a little bit about football, and I do also have natural instincts that I might not be able to articulate and explain releases like Jason DiRienzo, but I can also see bad play, and I can see bad play in a short period of time. I'm very, very busy, and I know a lot of our listeners are very, very busy. This is an excellent way to distill information and have your own damn opinion. Of course, listen to podcasts, listen to Nerds, listen to Rookie Fever.
Maybe you pull
Fever.
It up while you're listening to one of your podcasts. Maybe they mention a player and you're like, hey, I want to go watch that video now or a little bit extra. But
Rich likes to say, and I'll comment that Rich likes to say, like, when you're taking a shit, man, you can watch 5 games. Well, maybe not 5, but you know what I'm saying? Like you can literally in your down moments, like have an opportunity to watch a game in such a short period of time. And it's valuable information to have your own opinion.
Yep. So go over to DynastyNerds.com, code FEVER, save 15%. FEVER lets them know that we sent you there.
Yeah.
So do that for us. A couple more players to get to.
Yeah, I got one more that you're going to agree with. I got one more. You're right. There's no way you're going to disagree with me.
I'm going to love this guy.
There's no way. Tyrion Davis Price. Elijah Mitchell's absolutely going to start in this backfield. Don't kid yourself. He's up actually to 215 pounds, by the way. I don't know if you read that. He actually put on a little bit of weight. I hate when running backs lose weight. I like when they put on a little bit. He was at 200 last year. I think that's because he's really, really serious about trying to stay away from injuries. I understand that Tyrion Davis Price could be one injury away. I get it. I really do. And I like to draft running backs that are one injury away. But you know what? Next year, they're going to draft another running back that's going to be one injury away. And the year after that, they're going to draft another running back that's one injury away. I don't want to touch this backfield unless I'm going to do what you said early in the show where I'm going to go ahead and draft Tyrion Davis Price, hope Elijah Mitchell gets hurt. Hope Tyrion Davis Price is not Trey Sermon.
Hope goes.
There's
away.
A lot of hopes, right? Lots of hopes there. Then flip them before anybody remembers that they just keep drafting them anyway.
Yeah.
Like, why? I'm out. Like, not at this price. I don't want to do an early second for Tyrion Davis Price. You're telling me he's an early third? I got a different opinion. Not an early second. I told that area for me. I got lots of players. I'm all over the place. I got a little bit of everybody in that area. I'm trading into that spot. I got some Spiller. I got some Pierce. I got some David Bell. I got so many names right in that juicy spot. I do not want Tyrion Davis Price. As soon as Tyrion Davis Price gets drafted, I go, yes, that's another chance for me to get my guy.
Yeah. I do agree with you.
See? Told you I would. You don't like that San Francisco backfield.
I have zero of him.
Yeah, neither do I.
And yeah, I mean, and people don't want to hear it, but you don't even know that you're not going to see Trey Sermon if all that happens.
Absolutely. That's correct.
No endorsement at all, but you don't.
Both third round picks. Both third round picks.
No consistency. The most consistency a Shanahan offense has really ever brought you was Pierre Garçon. Honestly, it's so, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say the most consistency they've given you is inconsistency.
Kind of, though. Unless you have, like, Julio. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, who knows what's going to happen, man?
It's a great NFL offense. Like,
yeah.
It's a great mind, but it's not friendly to us fantasy guys.
He makes it work, and, yeah, he doesn't care about your fantasy team. I'm hoping to bring a little bit of controversy with this next one. I'll try to explain myself a little bit. I do see some of the upside in Rashad White in that he could be Tom Brady's next James White. I think the thing that they have most in common today is their last name. I think that Leonard Fournette can catch the ball from Tom Brady just as much, and Tom Brady is already built chemistry with Fournette. I think he trusts Leonard Fournette. I think Leonard Fournette has that backfield. I don't look at that backfield as turning to a Patriots backfield because Tom Brady is the quarterback. That was a Bill Belichick thing. Rashad White will see the field. If Fournette goes down, you won't have him. But you know, I think that Leonard Fournette is the problem that people have because they don't like him. But really, you look at Leonard Fournette, he's getting you more than Dalvin Cook. No. And if Rashad White was with the Vikings, you wouldn't give a damn. You give a damn. Don't get me wrong. You'd give a damn. But it's because you don't like Leonard Fournette. Rashad White just is somebody at the value where you're taking him. I'm seeing something else I'd rather take a risk at in this area, in this unforeseeable, like, rookie drafts of ADP. There's just probably somebody else that I'm hoping falls to me, and I'm kind of like, Rashad White, I kind of wouldn't mind having some, but I'm really glad you let this next guy fall to me.
Well, I hate to do this to you again, Swags, but I'm going to have to agree. I think we got a unique opportunity to look at Tampa Bay when Brady retired. When Brady retired, they were having struggle. They were struggling to re-sign players. We had no idea who was going to be the quarterback. We're all thinking, "Oh my God, Godwin's injured." Like this is a team I want to run away from. And the only thing that changed was Tom Brady. So Tom Brady's back for how long? A year, right? So now the situation
he's already signed his next contract, and it's right. Not with a team. Right.
So the situation we love is very volatile, first off. And then on top of that, they're paying Fournette $8 million this year and another $8 million next year with no real out. So now you're hoping that Fournette just gets plain old hurt because it's not about being productive. He's absolutely productive. That team and Brady found his receiving running back. They were trying to do it with Giovanni Bernard. Like, Fournette's perfect for that offense. So it works really well. They're not trying to reinvent the wheel. I think White winds up being depth piece. And if you're drafting him for more than that, then you're hoping again. You're back to hope. I'm not real big on Rashad White. He didn't make my list because I do understand, like, there's a little bit of I have a little bit of, like, fear of missing out on him, to be quite honest. Because during the process, a lot of people did like Rashad White. And so he didn't come out of the blue like Davis Price did, which was like, who's this guy? I got to look him up now. Like, I feel – and Rashad White, I think, has also been described as one of the best receiving backs in this class. So, like, that obviously plays up a little bit. So I do see a world or an outcome where I could be wrong on this player. So he didn't make my short list. But I don't disagree with you either.
No, yeah, exactly. And that's even kind of, you know, at the end, I was just kind of like, he is one that I'm kind of like, I would have kind of mind having some, but really happy you let this guy fall to me at the same time, too. So a little bit more wish and wash to Rashad White, but still somebody that hasn't landed on any of my teams. And I'd rather go see what you're willing to give me Leonard Fournette for.
Nice.
You know, completely honestly. So
absolutely.
Feverish, I think this is a nice, quick, little tight show for him. Maybe we finish this, get up out of here, and give him a little bonus show later this week.
I like it. That's a great idea.
Tell them who you are and everything about you.
I am Mike the Fever's Panero. You can find me on Twitter at AardvarkTV. Find the show, obviously, at Rookie Fever. Tell a friend. Rate and review, please. I would love a couple 5-star reviews. Hey, I'll take a 4-star review, Swags. I'm not even lying. Give me a review.
No, give this make show it 5. A review. I mean, if you're going on and you like us.
That's a really good point. Can you not do 4?
If you like us enough to give us a 4-star review, hop in my DMs and tell me what we could do to make it a 5-star review and give us that 5-star review and we will get there for you.
Sounds like a good idea.
And I am at Swagzilla0G and this is at Rookie Fever. On Twitter and on podcasts everywhere.
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 Everywhere I checked.
And we are out.
So, did you hear about Campus the Canton?
I have heard about it, yes. I need to learn much more about the Campus the Canton format.
Where would you do that?
Well, at campuscanton.com.
If only we had access to campuscanton.com and a promo code.
Well, what if we had a promo code that could save you 10% off?
That sounds pretty good to me. Where do I find that?
Starting as low as $3 a month. But here's what I recommend you do. I have to add this in. You only get to use that 10% off one time. Yes, you can only use it one time, Finero. So use it on a whole 1 year package,
not your
$3 a month package, because you want to save on the whole year, not just 1 year. But then you can get different packages all the way on up. I recommend you get at least the middle tier just for the right amount of content. And you learn Campus to Canton with us. Maybe someday you're in a league with us.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. You think we can get enough listeners to start a league with us?
I don't know.
We can try.
I'm kind of scared. Because if we do, you'll be going up against Finero and I. We'll be sharing a team and taking you on. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of intimidated of this format. I'll be diving in for my first time, too. I'm in a lot of Devi leagues, Dynasty leagues. This next step could be intimidating. I can't think of a better place for us to learn it than campuscanton.com.
We talked about this with Felix Sharp, and there's just no better way to get better at Dynasty and to get better at Devi than to take on this big challenge. It's going to be rough. We have a lot of bumps and learning curves, but we're going to have campuscanton.com to help us out. So you're going to have the same tool we will. So see if you can beat us.
It is a learning journey. Come on it with us. And as Felix said, let Campus Canton be that parachute. It slows everything down, makes us land smoothly into this next format. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever, in the morning, fever all through the night, sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right, rookie fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame and you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.